Today is Friday, November 14th, 2014. This is an interview with Chong Meng Vu, who is a Hmong veteran who served in the secret war in Laos. The interview is being conducted in La Crosse. The interviewer is Ellen Brooks, and our translator and co-interviewer is Sithong Yang. So we'll just start at the very beginning, if you can tell us where and when you were born.
I was born in a village called Thani in the province of Sien Quang in Laos.
And can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what your life was like when you were growing up?
Before I joined the war, I remember my family were farming. We were just doing anything just to make a living. And I went to school for 3 years to learn through the Laotian school system. Went from grade three, the first grade to third grade, and that was it. And I had entered the war efforts after that.
Yeah.
So you entered when you were a child, so about how old were you, do you think? I was probably just a child. I must have been only about 12. And what did you do as part of the war effort?
So both me, my father, and my brother, my older brother, we all serve in the war effort. This is my older brother who got sent back to Laos, and this is his ID card as a soldier during that time.
So when you were young soldiers, what were your jobs? What were your responsibilities?
Mundi, 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 Mundi
because I was so young, they did not send me to the front. They asked me to package food, rice and meat, cook food and cook meat, and prepare it and send it to the front.
That was my commander.
We're pointing to a photo on the wall with a gentleman in uniform, and that was Zhong Neng Bo Vu's commander. The gentleman in the uniform in the photo on the wall, his name is Zhong Guo Vu.
Did you have any training?
Yes, I had training, but because we were in the base, we were just trained in the base with the responsibilities in the base.
And what were those?
We were trained to fight also. We were trained to fight. We were trained to use grenades. We were trained to use bazookas, cannons in '60s, rocket propelled grenades.
And who was training you?
At the time, there were Thai officers who had trained some Hmong soldiers already, so the Hmong soldiers were the ones who trained us.
And were there a lot of other younger soldiers like yourself, or was it pretty rare to be so young? There are others that are as young as I was, both Laotian and Hmong. They were very young like I was also. And because we were younger, we would held back. Some of the kids that are older, a little bit older, 14 to 15, were sent to the front. But when I became 14 and 15, and I got that old, the war was slowing down already. So your dad was mostly with helping with the food and preparing food?
Us who are at the base, we were called Gong Basaka, and we package rifles, we package grenades into different packages, and pack them into, load them up into airplanes, and these airplanes drop them off for troops at the front.
Okay. So then did you move with the soldiers? Did your base change, or were you always in the same place?
We move also with the troops, but the younger ones are held back further from the front. See, the older ones are put right up the front.
And what were the soldiers that you were working with, the older ones, what were they like?
The ones that had served with me, a lot of them had died already. Because at the time, the front had been, there were fighting at the front and also in the back too. There were wars and people were fighting in the back also. So I don't know how many or what, who had survived the war. Those that are older that were sent to the front mostly died. I have a picture that I want to show you with some of the family members that had died in the front. We're looking at a picture with about nine soldiers from 1971, and they were indicating which one died, which one are still living in the United States and their states. Greg,
It's
okay. They done it. Okay, so we borrow it, make a full copy of it, and send back just like the other ones.
Yeah, that way it's good.
Oh, they know that you're the chief. We're looking at a picture here of Tung Neng Vu, taken in
1978.
It was a picture that was enlarged from a smaller picture. The smaller picture had his whole body, but they had, because they encountered the enemy, so they had cut off the rest of the body and just kept a kind of a portrait format for the picture.
Mm-hmm. So while you were a soldier, were you able to continue your education at all, or were you a full-time soldier?
No, could not go to school anymore because at the front there were many soldiers that were fighting that need assistance, need food, need weapons, and so we prepare the food, prepare the weapons, package them up, and send them off to the front.
And were you able to communicate with your family, people who weren't fighting at all?
I told them
แล้วก็ว่าเนาะก็มันยอกกุจินุยาเตชิปก็มันจะจ้องชิปปอนะก็มันยอกกุจินุต่อที่ก็ถ้าเรายอกกุจินุต่อเราต่อแต่ชิมันยอกชิมัวที่ก็จิลีว่ายอดยอดต่อมือลีดีนะ
If there's a lot of us, or if there's enough people to rotate, we would rotate. Some of us go a little bit closer to the front for 15 days, and then we'll rotate back for 15 days. But sometimes there's not enough people to rotate, so we're kept at the front, close to the front, all the time.
And where did you sleep?
ไอ้ตัวมุจจตัวนี่บ้าของนอกของไอ้ตัวแล้วนะชอบจอดเจว่าเป็นย่อหาจอดจอดนะมาเป็นชิปปุ่นนอรินนอนะเป็นเคอะอาปุ่นโหนะเจงาจันตองว่าล้อล้อหน่อยเปล่าเรื่องชิ้นแรงงานะจะเราโอ้เขาโตล้อโอ้เจใจโอ้เต้องเต้องชิปปุ่นมุจจันตองถ่ายแล้วเลยมุจจันตองถ่ายโดยจุด
We built trenches. We used logs, big heavy logs, to divide up. We dig out the trenches and used the logs to kind of stable the trenches, and we cover them up with ground and we sleep in there.
And I know that you weren't at the front, but were you ever in danger? Did the enemy ever bomb your camp or anything like that?
Go, to tao de dia ko ha luo lu, to ko tu tan ko lu luo ko chi tao mu ke pei hong dei xin dao xi tuo de xi ma bo mo de jiao wa nia la le ye jiao yin juo le tuo pao lao tuo le ye tuo tuo nei ke jiao yin yao de tie.
Mo ne.
Mo ne. Mo ne. And here we have a voice, Mrs. Zhong Nengvu. She was mentioning that 2 years before the war ended, Zhong Neng was actually at the front, and after the war ended in 75, after that he was very much at the front of the combat. And Zhong Neng was just saying that there was sometimes that they were attacked by the enemy. When the war ended in 75, the enemy came and lived with us, among us, but they took away all of our weapons and no one, we didn't have any weapons except for the enemy. So after the war, this was going on, and we live like this, trying to farm, trying to resume our normal life for about a year, and we knew we had to leave, we had to run into the jungle, into hiding.
Yeah.
So when you went into hiding, how many people did you go with?
About 6,000, and I had just clarified to see if the 6,000 was in small batches. But it was verified that 6,000 altogether as So with the 6,000, although it was one big unit, we divided up into different groups who stayed in different areas. That way we could occupy a larger area and defend those areas. But for a while after we did that, we ran out of ammunition. And so that's when we crossed over to Thailand.
So what was your everyday life like when you were in the jungle?
The whole purpose when we were still in the jungle was to find enough food for the day, for yourself and for your family, your wife and children. Mostly the men were at the front, and the wife and the children were a little bit back into the jungle. So our priority for the day was just to find enough food for ourselves and for our family.
What kind of food would you look for?
Food, yeah.
The food that we ate, there was no rice. Mostly were just shoots, bamboo shoots, shoots of any kind in the jungle. Things that are called Hmong called Tong La, Zong, those things, we ate anything and everything that we could find. So the very young and the very old, a lot of them died because they could not eat. Mostly they died from disease and died from starvation. And because after the war ended, the enemy had seized a lot of the airplanes that we had had as our air support. They used those airplanes to drop poisonous gas on us, red and white poisonous gas on people. And when we come in contact with those, you just have a bad diarrhea, that just blood diarrhea, and people die a lot too from that.
This
is an example of what we ate back in the jungle. Mr. Stone Lengvu is pointing to a root of some sort that they used to eat back in the jungle. These were the things that we used to feed our pigs and our chicken before the war, but during the war and after the war, we had no food to eat, so this is what we eat to survive.
Could you cook it, or no, did you have to eat it
cook
raw?
It. Cook eat it raw. You just boil it and then peel off the skin and then you see it. Zhong Nengbu was also saying too that the air support that used to be supporting their side after the war ended and during the time they were when they were in the jungle, those airplanes which had been seized by the enemy were used to fight them, were used to bomb them. These were the airplanes that he had a term called APC, were used to help them fight the enemy. Now it was the other way around. The enemy were using these airplanes to fight them. Got the APC, the APC, the other chief.
APC, then you don't young APC,
though. Oh, young, you hunter.
No APC, the man. You know, you're a dear money, you're a true to a ido or bad or a put the pot, you join put to a.
Okay. So just clarify what he referred to when he said APC, plane by the name of APC. He said APC is a plane that shoots smokes into the air. They didn't want to bomb. And so the jet planes would come and bomb that area. So in a way, it's probably a marker.
Yeah, right.
So the whole time when you were living in the jungle, were you thinking about trying to get to Thailand or trying to escape? Or were you just trying to survive there?
ตอนนี้ยาตาจงนี่ผมก็สาเดียนี่อยู่เคียมประเทศเทียเลยนี่จุสาญาตาจงก็อยู่เนี่ยทอเลยอยู่อูทอก็เกิดจังนี้เด้อมาแล้วก็มัวไปสั่งดูเลยกูซื้อเป้มาเป้เดียยิ่งยาเดียชิมกิจจะกินยี่ดันจีจะเคียตอจีสาเดียเนี่ยน้องอามิกาเคียตะกาหล่อเลยนะยามิกาตะกาตัวเนี่ยต่อเนาะเป้สาเลยเนาะเป้ที่เคียบเนี่ยต่อ
Especially for us, we were not educated and we had no way of communicating with the rest of the world. So when the Americans left, we had hope that they would come back to help us. So we remained in the jungle until most of our people had died and most of our leaders had died. And that's when we realized that the Americans are not coming back. We had to leave, and that's when we crossed over to Thailand.
Can you tell us about that journey that you took to get to Thailand?
ก็ถามจริงๆตอนนี้เขียนดำรอเต้ดำรอเต้เจว่าดาลอเลยหมดยอไปเลยยอชงกินนู้นได้ไม่เมย์ซะนะเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเดินเด
We realized that the Mekong River was heavily guarded and was heavily patrolled both at the north part and the south part, and there was only a narrow strip along the Mekong River that you could cross. And during the time, the dry season where the Mekong River is smaller, which is easier to cross, those are the times when it's patrolled most. So we had to cross at the end of the monsoon season, or the rainy season, which is in August, which is the time when the river was bigger, and they didn't bother to guard it, to patrol it as much because they knew, the enemy knew it was hard to cross. So when I came in August, I swam across the Mekong River with all my weapons, everything that I was carrying. And when I got to Thailand, I had surrendered. I surrendered my equipment and my weapon to the Thai officials. There was took me three tries to cross the Mekong River. The first time we were ambushed, the second time we were also ambushed, and the third time we made it through. And there was about 30 to 40 of us, not just me.
And everybody swimming?
Yeah. Yes, we swam together. Let's say if I swim better, if I could swim better, I would be the one to go first. I would tie a rope around my waist, and then I'll tie it to you and tie it to somebody else. I'll swim for a little bit, then I'll stop, and I'll pull everybody along. And you pull the person behind you, and so forth and so on, to gather everybody, and then we'll continue to swim that way. Everybody can cross. Yes, since when I was born and when I started to notice or realize, I've been through some hardships. The only 2 years that I noticed really peace in my life, or peace in the time that I was growing up, was in 1963 and 1964. After that, all I saw and witness was war. Even myself had to be involved in the war.
Yeah.
When you were that young, in the early 60s, was your father or anybody older than you, were they involved in the military?
Yes, my father was also involved in the war, and because of that, our family did not stay in the village with the other villagers, but we stayed in the military camp. My family stayed in the military camp.
When you were growing up?
That's true. When I was growing up, I only had 3 years of schooling, and then from there I went to join the military, join the effort.
Yeah.
We saw the identity card for your brother. Can you tell us what happened to him?
One day, my love, what on bay, let's do this, you know.
My brother, they came to live in Ban Vinai refugee camp, like a lot of refugees too. But they somehow they had interviewed to come to the U.S. They were eligible to come, but they changed their mind. They didn't want to come until refugee camp was closed. And so Ban Vinai camp was closed, and they were sent to a different refugee camp called Na Po. Stayed there for a little while. They were sent to a place close to Bangkok. Supposedly, they were going to be sent to the U.S., but somehow the Thai government sent them back to Laos.
And that's where they are now?
But she's not living in
Myanmar.
Yes, they're there now.
Can you tell me what life was like in the refugee camp?
Okay, Minji, Lunan, Yaho, the Ying Tona, the Shizong Lita, Dolita, no Homo Lolita, there, you know, Molita, sir.
How soon, Hola?
How soon?
How soon, Homa, one and now? Bay, there's a little on yonder hole, Jay, and here's the notch the hole now. Jay thought what in a sabbath a sad little motto, Jan, no, the sir. เจนน่ะว่ายิ่งชิโมยาฮุนะจิโยอะตอคาเตะหลอนยอมมาเลยชิปุตตะนะนะชิปุตตะเยตอญาตะเลยซะใจหาทอบิญะโดนนอกไคมาตะตอนะแต่ชิจัญญาอุตุชาติซะซะใจเลยชิปุตตะนะหลอนยอมวินัย
Life in the refugee camps was very hard because there was no way to make a living. There was no work. You cannot get out of the camp to do anything. So we had to rely completely on UN or outside help for food and everything that we need. When we were in refugee camp Nong Khai, we could get out a little bit, but still in secret. But in Ban Vinai camp, it was more strict. If anybody got out, they're captured, they would be punished. They would be beaten, or they'd be punished heavily.
Yeah. ยังอย่างนี้อ่ะนิวอ่ะนะตัวนะชิปอติก็พอตอละนะปัญญาโดเตชนะกูยอมได้มั้ยกูยังยอมติล่อมึงกูมาตอได้จริงๆอ๋อเตชิบาวินายนะมาจอกิเกนะหายะตึกจิตองนะครับชงชาจุจั่วกูลาโดเปจะกูยอมติชงเสียกูตัวเตชนะ
Ban Vinai is a place that a lot of refugees came to before they came to the U.S. or went somewhere else. And Zhong Neng himself lived there for only a year. In 79, he came there in 79 and lived there for only a year and came to the U.S.
Yeah.
Do you have other questions that you want to cover?
Just if you can let us know how you got to the United States and what you ended up doing when you got here.
Got time in jitsa lu hopia le ya lu ge to mo to de chemi ka no the ka chen ha to li ja de to ka to cha de chen no ka ha lu nang long li ja wo na wo ho long che de chi li ja si de
wa ko to do de chen na ku ya wo de ka wo ku ka xie le tao ni ko to ma rong ni chi po lu ji yu Chisanya Tashi Tonyanya to in Abishong Yiku Rong Shiade Yay Dicha Rong Tia Ho do you genan Bunny Minyo Nakanya Rong Me too Minyo Doctor Nogget Nair Kanayaka 走些。
When I came to the U.S., I had more peace and more joy at first because I did not know English. It was hard. I did not want to stay. I did not want to live here. But after a few years, I know that this is a good country. My family, my wife and kids are healthy, happy, and have school. I appreciate all of that.
And how did you end up in Wisconsin? When they first came to the U.S., they came into Oklahoma, and there was no opportunity to study or to learn English. So they moved to Wisconsin, and they started learning ABCs in Wisconsin. And how do you like it here?
Kapunya, how Wisconsin not here?
Kunya, nakanya na.
Okay. I like more than I thought.
That's great.
Oh, This is Song Neng Vu, just seeing all of the children, they came to La Crosse, and all of them were born in La Crosse. Their oldest one is a teacher now in Wisconsin Rapids. And so they're very grateful that in America they have opportunities to be more than what their parents could
be.
Six boys.
Yeah. Three girls.
Mm-hmm. Great. Nine kids.
Nine.
Yeah. Great. Way too soon. Way too near, too
soon. I hate a lot.
Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you'd like to talk about today?
When it comes down to it, no one likes to fight in a war. And at the time, even though my service in the military, involvement in the war wasn't long, and I didn't know that we were fighting for the U.S. and fighting with the U.S. along on our side. Now I know that it was the little efforts that I have was to help the U.S. I'm grateful that I did. Although I didn't fight long, my service wasn't extensive, I'm still grateful that I was able to help in some way.
Well, thank you. You have a very unique story too, especially since you started so young. That was something we hadn't talked to someone who was of your age yet. So thank you very much for sharing with us.
This one was they do want to take you Washington D.C. They are you have checked the Washington D.C.
again that were con
okay there was a picture taken we're looking at a picture that was taken in Washington D.C. during an invitation
right
that the law veterans were invited to go close to the White House.
When was this?
So to the
so 1990
looks like 89.
Okay. And how was that experience going close to the White House?
Como je ti che dao ti ko ho long zao li ja si.
Ku yin rong xie de jan na jan chi ti hen. Bi a de to zao de cha. Zao de
che po ye wo zin
de po. To zao lo de cha la na na.
O po ti po ti che dao la.
Zao e zong mong e wo mong lin tian tu na.
Oh. That was when they went and erected
it. Ka hai yi lao dong ge tie wa.
This was when they had erected a memorial close to the White House, recognizing the Hmong Lao veterans as part of the effort in the Vietnam War. And locally here, Zhong Neng also appreciates the local veterans here in town, La Crosse, that this past Veterans Day, they had invited the Hmong veterans to join in with them in a parade to be recognized as veterans of past war. And he appreciates that fact that they would invite them to be part of that parade.
Should we turn off the recorder for now?
I think so.
Okay.
Last, just wanted to say thank you for coming, taking the time to listen to my story, all three of you. Even though the war has long passed and our leader is also gone now, it is something that we keep with the history of this people and our people. The war, you might have a lot of information about the war already, but it may be that you wanted to get a more personal story from different individuals about the war efforts. And I'm grateful for your effort. And if later on you want to follow up with any particular part of the story, we can still do that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.